take your Bibles, please, the book of Psalm number 25. If you're new to church, it's the book of Psalms. Right in the middle of your Bible. I ain't taking for granted nothing no more. Last time I was here, I was preaching out of the book of Job. Half y'all couldn't find it because you thought it's pronounced Job. Some of you wouldn't even look for it. I was watching. The book of Psalms. Psalms is the middle book, the centerfold of the Word of God. It's the largest book in the Bible, and it's a song book. Thank God for that good singing. Hey, y'all, we had some good singing today. Thank you. Thank you, ladies, for that. Wonderful. I like what Lauren said. She said, we're not interested in putting on a show. I appreciate that. Ain't that wonderful? Thank God for that. No, they're church. Those are church kids raised in church all their lives. Amen. And that's where they learned how to do that. And they're wonderful at it. Thank you, Miss Talia, for driving them out here. What a blessing. Psalm number 25, I want to read all 10 verses. Excuse me, did I say 25? Back up with me to number 24. If you go to Genesis 1, you went too far. Turn around and go back like you came. We're just one chapter. Just Psalm 24. And we're going to read all 10 verses there in Psalm 24. Thank you for having me. Pastor, where'd he go? Did he go smoke? Where did he left? He's gone. So we can pretty much do whatever we want to do. So I make a motion that I'm kidding. Is that clock accurate? I'm just looking at it. I don't have a watch on. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make you this promise. I'll be done at the end of this sermon. I'll go no further than that. I've been accused of being long-winded, falsely I do think. But the Bible said a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. How would you like to have him here preaching? Somebody said, I'd like to hear Paul. No, you wouldn't. He'd preach to midnight. They'd fall out the windows. He'd raise them from the dead, teach Sunday school till daylight. You wouldn't like that. And I'm sure we've got green bean casserole, corn casserole, potato casserole, chicken casserole, casserole. And I'm looking forward to it, amen. Every diet needs a cheat month. I gave you extra time to find Psalm 24. Let's look in our Bibles together. Look in Psalm 24 and verse number 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Hallelujah. Do you love your Bible? Help me pray this morning. Pray with me. Pray with me and pray for me. Our Father, thank you for the gathering together of the people of God. I thank you for the good singing.
I thank you, Lord, for the sweet spirit that's in the house of God. I pray you'd help us now. I pray you'd bypass the feeble preacher. I pray you'd take us by the hand and walk us through the pages of your Bible. Show us things and tell us things. We'll give you glory for it. We'll praise you best we know how, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want you to notice with me our text verse will be in verse number 3. The Bible said, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord?" Or, "Who shall stand in his holy place?" Do you know what the psalmist is asking? He's asking, who is going to heaven? He's interested in who goes to heaven. And I think specifically, he wants to know, am I going to heaven? And I want to ask you this morning, are you going to heaven? Here in Psalm 24, there are several things that I would like to point out to you about this interesting question on who's, by the way, I'm preaching on who's going to heaven. Now, I know that everybody has an idea of who's going to be there. Everybody has their idea of what it takes to get there. But I want to look at this psalm, and it has a lot to say about the subject of who's going to heaven. Look with me now in verses 1 and 2, and I want you to see who has the right or who has the authority to answer that question. Notice verse number 1. "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods." Did you notice who has the authority to answer that type of question? I want you to notice that it's not up to the brethren on who goes to heaven. Somebody ought to holler amen right there. I don't know about you, but I've got a list of people that I think are probably going to be there, but I've also got a list of people that I think that probably ain't going to be there. Help me, somebody. Everybody's got a list, y'all. Y'all, everybody's got a list. I've got a list of people I'm pretty sure going to make it. Then I got another list. We ain't going to talk about that one. And I don't. They're not coming. Help me, somebody. They're probably not coming. And they ain't going to. They're not going to purgatory, neither. Help me, somebody. Y'all, come here now. Who's going to heaven? I'll tell you who has the authority. It's the Creator Himself. God is the only one that has the authority to answer that type of a question. It's not up to the Republicans. It's not up to the Democrats. It's not up to the United Nations. It's not up to the brethren. You don't have to worry about having a deacon's meeting. It's not up to the deacons. Somebody ought to holler amen. It's not up to your mother-in-law. Praise God. I'll tell you who's up to. It's up to God. It's up to God. After all, it's His. It's His house. It's His house. It's His place. It's His by right of creation. God is the only one who has the authority to answer that type of question. And He does here in Psalm 24. Look at your Bible at verse number 4. In verse number 4, we have the requirements for access inside the city. If you're interested in going to heaven this morning, you ought to really pay attention to verse number 4. Did you know that there are requirements? Oh yes. God has set some requirements for who gets to go to heaven. Who's going to heaven? Verse number 4 answers that question. The Bible said, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." I want you to notice with me that in verse number 4, there happen to be 4 requirements for you to have access inside that city. There is a standard that has been set. And if you don't meet that standard, you can forget going to heaven. Help me, somebody. Did you know that there are requirements? I mean, listen, here's what he says. There's a requirement for our hands. There's a requirement for our heart. There's a requirement for our head. There is a requirement for our honesty. I usually don't get past the first one, so let's jump right in. Look at the last one. The Bible said in verse number 4, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Nor sworn deceitfully. You know what that means? That means never have told a lie in your life, ever. Help me, y'all. Not even a little white lie. Not even stretch the truth a little bit. I've been preaching on the life of Abraham since March, and Abraham's worst mistake that he ever made was in Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 13, where he said, tell them you're my sister and not my wife. Help me, somebody. And you know, if you've studied your Bible, you know that that is half true. She was actually the daughter of his father, but not the daughter of his mother. So it was more of a half truth than it was a lie. Well, you know what a half truth is? It's a whole lie. In fact, it's worse. It has deception with it. Did you see what the Bible said? Who hath not sworn deceitfully, trying to deceive. If you have ever at any point in your life ever told a lie, you can forget going to heaven. Oh, help me, Jesus. It gets real quiet when I start talking like this. Don't nobody go to bed on me now. We're talking about the requirements for access inside us. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you think that it just everybody gets to go to heaven? Come here, y'all. Do you know it's a very exclusive place. Not everybody gets to go to heaven. Oh, yeah, they got walls. Did you know they got walls? That probably makes you mad, don't it? Huh? Ain't nobody wants walls anymore. Ain't nobody fussing at China. They've had a wall for years. Ain't nobody fussing about that. Help me, somebody. That's funny. It don't matter where you're from. That's pretty funny right there. Well, heaven's got walls and gates. Huh? And it's a very exclusive group of people, if anybody, that gets to go. If you want to go to heaven, here's the requirements. Hath not nor sworn deceitfully. That's a requirement for your honesty. That means never at any point ever in your life have you ever told a lie. Oh, look at the next one up. I'm starting at the bottom because I never get past that hands thing. I get hung up on the hands thing. Look at the next one. Hath clean hands, pure heart. Hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity. Well, what does that mean? Hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity. Going after things that don't even matter. Things that don't matter to God. Help me, somebody. Hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity. You know what we do? We spend most of our life going crazy for things that do not even matter to God when our souls are hanging in the balance. Hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity. You know what that means? That means you never at any point in time in your life ever wasted time with something that didn't matter. Oh, help me, Jesus. Y'all come here. I'm talking about the requirements. By the way, I didn't set the requirements. Don't look at me. I didn't draw the line in the sand. They were here when I got here. And by the way, I'm preaching the Bible here. These are Bible requirements for access inside the city of God. And it was God that set these requirements. Who's going to heaven? Somebody that's never sworn deceitfully. Hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity. Oh, look at this next one. He that hath a pure heart. Oh, my. Let me ask you a question. Is your heart pure? You know, the Bible said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know what the Bible says about the heart? That it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Your heart is more deceptive than the devil himself. Is your heart pure? Have you got a pure heart? What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what that means. That means at no point in your life have you ever wanted something that you shouldn't have. That you've never had a wicked thought, not one time ever in your life. Do y'all want to pray? It's getting kind of thin in here. Is it hot or is it me? Huh? I'm talking about the requirements to go to heaven. Look at this next. Look at the first one. Oh, this is the one I always get hung up on. Who's going to heaven? Verse number 3. Look at verse number 4. He that hath clean hands. Let me ask you a question. Are your hands clean? What does that mean, preacher? That means that no point in your life ever have you taken something you shouldn't have. Have you touched something you shouldn't have? Help me, somebody. Are your hands clean? Take a look at them. Are your hands clean? Well, if your hands are not clean, you can forget going to heaven. You want to go to heaven? You ain't going if your hands ain't clean, if your heart's not pure. Help me, somebody. Is this Bible preaching? Am I going off on a tangent? I'm not. Y'all ain't got some crazy guy in it. Well, he sort of is. But don't go to bed on me. The requirements for going to heaven. You got to have a pure heart. You got to have clean hands. Are your hands clean? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking the same thing I was thinking when I asked myself that question. Yeah, my hands are clean compared to that guy. God's not going to ask you, are your neighbor's hands clean? You stand before God Almighty at the judgment of God. He's going to say, let me see your hands. He's not interested in how your hands compare to your neighbor's hands. That means that you have never, ever in your life done anything wrong. Oh, I'm feeling the same. I feel the same way y'all feel. I'm going to say this to you. These are the requirements for going to heaven. And I'm going to be honest with you that when I look at my hands, I can go and tell you I ain't got no business in a place, even thinking that I'm going to heaven. Can I get a witness? Anybody else? I'm going to tell you something. I've looked at these four requirements for access to heaven, and I don't know anybody. And I've met some good people. I've met good people in my life, but I don't know that I've ever met anybody that meets them requirements, except one. I met one whose hands are clean. Hallelujah. You might know who he is. The Son of God. His name's Jesus. In fact, his hands are so clean, them Jews couldn't find nothing wrong with him. They couldn't find anything to convict him for. They wanted to put him to death, but they couldn't find anything that would stick. The hired sons of Belial, liars, but they couldn't get their story straight. So they brought him to a man named Pontius Pilate. Do you know who Pontius Pilate was? Pontius Pilate was a Roman fault finder. He was the best fault finder that ever found a fault. And they sent old Pontius Pilate down there to them whited sepulcher, self-righteous Jews in Jerusalem to see if he could find some fault in them. And fault he found. In fact, he never had anybody come before him in his court that he didn't find fault on. Help me, somebody. There wasn't a single one that ever stood before Pontius Pilate but what he didn't find fault. And they said, I'll tell you what we'll do with him. We'll take him down to Pilate. Pilate will find something wrong with him and we'll better put him to death. Well, Pilate examined him. Pilate took him in the back room and examined him with hard questions and came out and said, I find no fault in him. Hallelujah. He said, but I ain't willing to give up. I'm not a quitter. He took him back the second time. And the second time, he asked him hard questions. He examined Jesus. He looked at his hands. He looked him up one side down the next and came back with the second acquittal and said, I find no fault in him. Oh, hallelujah. But he said, I'll tell you what. He said, you bring him back to me one more time. And they took him back the third time and he looked him up one side down the next. He examined those hands. He looked at those hands with a magnifying glass. He came back out the third time with the same acquittal. I find no fault in him. Only this time he had a bucket of water. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, I ain't never seen hands that clean. There ain't never been nobody ever come before me that had clean hands like that. In fact, his hands are so clean, it makes mine look filthy. I tell you what, you can do what you want to with him, but them's the cleanest hands I've ever seen. Oh, Jesus. Would you say, man, if I were to suggest to you this morning that Jesus is the only one that has access to heaven? Would you say, man, if I were to tell you that Jesus is the only one that deserves to go to heaven? He's the only one that belongs there. He's the only one that fits in there. Help me, somebody. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you was to go there, you'd stick out like a sore thumb. Help me, somebody. Huh? Would you say it, man, if I were to suggest to you that Jesus is the only one allowed to go to heaven? According to these requirements, Jesus is the only one that has access to heaven. He's the only one allowed to go to heaven. He's the only one that's able to go to heaven. Huh? Now look at the next section of the psalm. Very interesting. This is a very interesting psalm. In Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10, we have the return of the advents of Christ. Now, when I say the return, this is heaven's perspective. And I mean the advents, I mean the two times that Jesus left heaven and came to earth. Don't get me started talking about it. Y'all are probably familiar with the first one. Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Somebody say amen. That is the first advent of Christ. He came the first time just like the Bible said he would, with shepherds and wise men and the star of Bethlehem. Merry Christmas, y'all. You remember I was the first one to tell y'all that this year. The first advent of Christ, and then the second advent. Y'all, just as sure as he came the first time, he's coming back the second time. Oh, one of these advents is in the past. One is in the not so distant future. Jesus came the first time according to the scripture. He's coming back the second time according to the scripture. Jesus shall return. Hallelujah. Honey, he'll rip that eastern sky wide open. He'll ride out of heaven on a white horse. He'll thunder through glory, light down on the Mount of Olives. He'll walk across the Kidron Valley through the eastern gate of the temple. He'll sit down on the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. They'll beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks, and they'll learn war no more. And the glory of God will cover the land like the waters come past the sea. Don't get excited. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Thank God for that. I like what my brother said. Go vote. Y'all went and voted early, did you? Praise the Lord. How many times? How many times? Yeah, vote as many times as you want to vote. Praise God. Huh? In fact, when I go, I'm going to vote. My dog Gus is going to vote. My granny, she's been dead for years. She's going to vote. Yeah, I didn't know the rules back in 2020. And I know them now. Help me, somebody. Anyhow, Jesus came the first time, the second time. You and I are familiar. But in verse 20, in Psalm 24, we have the return. What I mean by that is he's coming back to heaven. Did I tell you that Jesus is the only one that has access? He's the only one. He's the only one allowed to come to heaven. And here in Psalm 24, he is exercising his right to enter into heaven in the return of the two advents. Let's look at them together quickly. Look at verse number 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lift up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Upon the return of the first advent of Christ, here he comes. Here he comes through heaven. And I tell you, heaven's got walls. Heaven's got walls and heaven's got gates. And the bulwarks of heaven were closed. The gates of heaven are closed. Help me, somebody. They're closed. I said it was an exclusive place. And there was a very limited group of people that allowed to come. In fact, if you look down through the annals of history and study mankind, you'll find out that Jesus Christ is the only one that meets the standard of God. He's the only one that has met all four of the requirements to go to heaven. He's the only one allowed to go. And so naturally they've got a guard watching the gate of heaven. And all of a sudden the watcher on the wall cries out, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Here comes this mighty angel. This mighty angel walks up and says, "Who is this King of Glory? Boy, I am under a divine mandate from God Almighty to keep this gate closed and to keep the door of heaven barred, lest there should be anything that defileth." It ain't going to happen on my watch like it happened before with Lucifer. "There shall nothing enter into this city that maketh a lie. There shall nothing that defileth. There'll be no sin. I've been charged by God to keep this gate closed, and the only one that shall pass is the one that meets the requirement of God." Who is this King of Glory? And about that time, Jesus approaches and he recognizes him. And he bends his knee and bows his head and says, "Your Majesty, 1,000 pardons. I did not recognize you. You don't look the same that you did when you left." You see, the first time that Jesus comes back to heaven, he's been down in the valley. And the Bible said he's the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He's been down in the valley. He's been fighting. There's a battle raging, and he won the victory. Hey! Oh, but he bears in his body the marks of a battle, a raging battle over the souls of man, over the souls of mankind. He comes back and his visage is marred, but the angel finally recognizes him and says, "Open up that gate. It's Jesus. Let him in." The first time he comes back, they wouldn't go open the gates. And he said, "Who is this King of Glory?" He showed him the wounds in his hands and in his side. He said, "Open up that gate." Hallelujah. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Hallelujah. That's the return of the first advent. Look at the second one. Look at verse number 8. Excuse me, verse 9. He's at it again. Now I'm going to tell you something. As far as you and I are looking at things, and by the way, this is heaven's perspective. All three of these psalms, the trilogy of the psalms, Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24 make up a trilogy. And it's all heaven's perspective. Psalm 22, you see the blood-stained caps of Mount Calvary. And it's not from Peter, James, and John's perspective, but rather it's from heaven's perspective. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Calvary from heaven's point of view. Psalm 22. Death in between these two mountains. You got Psalm 22's Mount Calvary. Psalm 24's Mount Zion. In between these two mountains is a valley called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. Y'all settle down now. But here's what David said when he got down there. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Hallelujah, y'all. He said it was a shadow. And from heaven's perspective, death is but a shadow. I want to tell you something, that the shadow of a dog can't bite you. And the shadow of a gun can't shoot you. And the shadow of a knife can't cut you. And from heaven's perspective, death is but a shadow. Well, it'll help you someday. In Psalm 24, heaven's perspective of the two advents. Between verses 8 and 9, there have been now over 2,000 years as you and I look at time. But I want to remind you that God does not dwell in this capsule of time that you and I are confined in. He's not bound by a chain of events. You know, the only thing you can do anything about is right now. You can't do anything about yesterday. Yesterday's gone. You can't do anything about tomorrow. Tomorrow hasn't got here yet, and you're not promised tomorrow. That's why the Bible said now is accepted time, but today is the day of salvation. The only time you can do anything is right now. If you're lost this morning, the only time you can get saved is now. You can't get saved tomorrow. You haven't been promised tomorrow. Can't you say yesterday? Yesterday's gone. The only time you can do anything about anything is now. Because it's the way God set us up. We're in this capsule of time. God is not confined to time. That's how come he could show up in John 11, 4 days late to a funeral, and still be right on time. Settle down. Look at verse 9. Lift up your heads, all your gates. Even lift them up, your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. He's at it again. He's done slipped out on them. Hey, he's done left heaven again. And now he's coming back. As he approaches, the watcher on the wall sees somebody coming. And he recognizes them because he's been looking for them. Verse 6. He says, lift up your heads, all your gates. Even lift them up, your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Here comes that mighty angel again. Boy, I done told you. I've been given a divine mandate from God Almighty to keep this gate shut and that door barred. Ain't nobody getting in but what don't meet the requirements. Who is this King of glory? Back that time, Jesus approaches and the angel recognizes him. He bends his knee and bows his head and says, Your Majesty, 1,000 pardons. I don't recognize you. You don't look the same now as you did when you left the last time. No, the last time he came back, he was bearing the marks. He was bearing the marks of a battle. But this time, look at verse 10. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. This time, the first time he came back, he was all by himself and had the wounds, had the marks of a battle. But this time, he's got an innumerable multitude with him. Hallelujah. He's got a number that no man can number. Out of every kindred and tongue and tribe and nation, he's got a grand group of people. He's the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Hey, praise God. An innumerable company of people are with him. He said, wait just a minute. I put half y'all into depression. Some of you had to get baby aspirins and put it under your tongue a while ago when I was talking about the pastor about had a cardiac arrest when I was talking about the requirements. Tell me somebody, am I right about it? Oh, I know, you know I know you. I know and you know I know. You got nervous a while ago. Who's this crowd with him now? If can't nobody go. If ain't nobody allowed, ain't nobody able to go, if all we can do is meet these requirements, who's this crowd? There is a loophole that I didn't tell you about a moment ago. When I told you that I'm afraid to get over here because that's my eyes are blurred, I'm going to fall. Hey, great would be the fall of it. I ain't even doing it. He got to heaven and there's a great multitude with him. A while ago when I told you that Jesus was the only one allowed to go, the only one that has access, the only one that's able to go to heaven, you said amen. But here's the catch, and it's true. He is the only one that can go in and out freely. Here's the catch. He can bring anybody he wants to with him. Hey, settle down. I said, he can bring anybody he wants to with him. And so, hey, take heart, neighbor. If your hands ain't clean, his hands are clean enough for the both of you. If your heart ain't pure, his heart's pure enough for the both of you. He's good at being good. I don't care. Some of us are good at being bad. In fact, some of us are so bad at being bad that we're good at being bad. And I don't care how good you are at being bad. God's better at being good than you are at being bad. His hands are so clean that they'll let him in heaven and they'll let anybody that wants to come with him. Do you know what you got to do to go to heaven? Do you know what the requirement is from God to go to heaven? All you got to do is come to Christ and Christ will take you to heaven. No, you're not going to get there on your merits. You're not going to get there for being good enough and clean enough and right enough. You'll never make it that way. But if you'll come to Jesus, if you but just come to Jesus, he knows the way. He can get you in. Hallelujah, you can go to heaven. He can take anybody he wants to. And guess what? He wants to. He stood up one day and said, come unto me, all you that labored, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You know what that means? That means y'all come to me and I'll take you with me and I'll give you rest for your souls. Hallelujah. Do you know who's going to heaven? Jesus is. And anybody that comes to him, anybody that comes to him, don't come to him and say, Lord, I'm better than that guy. My hands are cleaner than that guy. Don't come with that. Don't come talking about your baptism certificate. Don't come showing me Sunday school pens. Did you notice that in the requirements for going to heaven, what was absent? Nobody in verse 4 ever spoke in tongues. Help me, somebody. Oh, I know you got a crazy cousin out there somewhere that believes that. Come here. Nobody spoke in tongues. Nobody, help me, y'all, right here. Nobody climbed in the side box. Nobody climbed. Y'all ain't got a side box. Have you got a side? They ain't got a side box. Nobody climbed in the side box and confessed to Father What's-His-Face. Help me, somebody. You didn't have to rub a bead. You didn't have to light a candle. You didn't have to ride a 10-speed. You didn't have to turn over a new leaf. You didn't have to get your ducks in a row. You didn't have to get your life straightened out. You didn't have to quit this and start that and do this and do that. All you have to do to go to heaven is come to Jesus. And anybody, let me say it like this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's all stand. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the good singing. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for showing us the way. I pray you'd help us now in this invitation time. Lord, if there's somebody here lost without you, oh God, I pray you'd not let them leave. I pray you'd not let them leave till they do business with you. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all play something, sister. Y'all heads bowed and eyes closed. Here's the invitation. I'm not asking you, are you caught up on your faith promise? I'm not going to ask you whether you're a tither or not. I'm not going to ask you about how faithful you are. What I want to know is, have you come to Christ? Has there ever been a time in your life when you know when you're lost, you came to Jesus for him to save you? If that's the case in your life and you can testify to that fact, that is a historical fact in your life, that there was a time in your life when you realized you was lost and you came to Jesus to save you, slip your hand up and hold it there just as a testimony. Ain't nobody looking. It's private. God bless you. Thank you. Put your hands down. There'll be somebody else under the sound of my voice and say, preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I want to ask everybody, whether you raise your hand or not, what makes you think you're going to heaven when you die? You think you're going to heaven because you're in a Baptist church? Do you think you're going to heaven because you've been baptized? I asked one old boy if he's going to heaven one day, and he said, I'm a preacher. Hey, Judas was a preacher. I'm asking you about that. I'm asking you this morning, what makes you think you're going to heaven? And if it's not because you have trusted Jesus with your, if you're leaning on baptism, if you're leaning on a trip to the altar, you signed a card, you prayed a prayer, if you're trusting in anything you did, I got bad news for you, friend. You're not going. Your hands are not clean enough. Your heart's not pure enough. But if you've ever come to Christ, and I don't care how filthy your hands are or how impure your heart may be, if
if you ever came to Christ for salvation, then he did it. What makes you think you're going to heaven? Let's pray together. Let's pray. Some are in the altar. Others ought to come. Homecoming. What a blessing. What a blessing. 55 years. Congratulations. You know what's more important than anything else in this world? Is you going home to heaven by and by. Father in heaven, thank you for the patience of God's good people as we've labored together in the scriptures. Help us in this invitation time. Do what you do and be who you are. We'll give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.